Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360. On June 2nd, 2017, live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, but we're just full on in June gloom, aren't we?
Yeah, it's the same today, isn't it?
Yeah, I just hope it stops soon. You know me.
The June gloom
just annoys me to no end, you know?
It is pretty thick out there, but, you know, it's going to get better. I know it. But it is only the 2nd of June. I guess we can have June gloom anytime, huh, in June? So
well, that's
anytime
we,
over the next 30 days.
Yeah, I know. But yesterday the sun popped out at my house about 6:15. I mean, we were just sucked in all day.
Yeah. Well, it's what a wonderful time we're having. What's going on in your world? What's going on with you?
What's going on with me? Well, you know, one thing I noticed, I've been noticing. Have you noticed a lot of construction going on, you know, around the South Bay? Is there a lot of construction happening near you? Is there a lot of construction happening near you?
In all four directions.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, on my block, just my block, not across the street or... On my block alone, we have had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 houses being, you know,
right,
remodeled. And I mean extensive remodeling. You know, new
right,
roofs, new windows, you know, new stucco, new exteriors, you know. The construction has been going on. It's just nonstop. It's nonstop.
Right.
It's good. I mean, it's good. It's just that... It, you know, in about 25 minutes, you're going to start hearing jackhammers and other construction sounds from behind. It's just the noise never ends, you know.
Wow. Yeah, there is a level of development and you know, obviously real estate transactions going on that is you know, crazy. It's good, but for real estate agents and brokers, it's great, but it's, I don't know. We'll see how it pans out as summer continues.
Maybe, you know, this might be the sign of, you know, the economy getting better, you know, like people are freeing up their,
right,
you know, their money to get stuff done and buying homes and stuff. So let's keep our fingers crossed. You know, I just hope they finish the construction soon.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And
like things,
you know, the only thing I wanted to mention tonight, opening night for CA101, you know, the annual art exhibit. They always do an amazing job. It opens tonight, the opening reception, free. It's free. Anybody can go. They're going to be in a space on Avenue I in Riviera Village. It's the old Denise Furniture Shop. You know, every year they find a different space to do it in. And you've been to them, and you know these shows are amazing. So everybody, tonight, I believe it starts at 5. So get on over Friday night. You know, if the sun comes out by 5, we'll be in great shape, right?
Right. Fantastic. Well, you know, Jackie, you know I was a thespian in high school, right?
I didn't know that.
Yes. And I actually had several wonderful parts, but my signature role was as the priest in Man of La Mancha.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yes. I had, you know, had my solo song. It was amazing.
Oh, you sang too. Oh, all right. Wow,
yeah.
I didn't know this.
Let me see if I can find my sheet music right real quick.
I didn't know you were a song and dance man.
No, musical theater only. You know, not a lot of hoofing, but musical theater for sure.
All right. Well, then you have some experience to fall back on with our guest today.
I am so excited about this show. I have to preface this by saying to people that there are few things that you can do as a parent to give your child more confidence than sports, or and that's both mental and physical confidence, sports and musical theater. Musical theater is so special. It's kind of like fundamental. I mean, really, if you think about it from, you know, from the beginning, when we were just tribal societies, musical theater was a daily part of life because people acted out. There was, you know, rhetoric, the campfire stories and so forth. So drama and musical theater wasn't a separate part of life. It was life. Now we separate everything into a box and we charge money for tickets and stuff like that. But I'm excited, Jackie. Who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Julia and Mark Merkovich from Putting On Productions, a.k.a. POPS. It's a nonprofit California organization whose mission is to train and educate youth in all aspects of theater. Founder and executive director Julia Merkovich was born in a small town in Iowa, and her passion for creative expression started at a very early age, staging her older sisters to Michael Jackson songs and original stories in their basement. Trained at the Academy of Dance Arts, Julia also cultivated her talents in voice and theater in high school, college, and local community theaters. She studied at the Tracy Roberts Actor Studio, where she acquired bicoastal representation and has danced, performed, and or choreographed for film, television, and stage. She founded Putting On Production in the summer of 2007 to create a place where kids can practice being themselves while supporting and being supported by their peers, professional educators, and family in the art they love. She has also created a successful empowerment curriculum which parallels the actor's process called The Hero's Journey. As children develop their characters, they learn how to become the hero of their own life story. Julia is a certified life and success coach and author of her soon-to-be-released Finding Light, a young adult urban fantasy novel. Now, Mark Merkovich, co-founder and director of business development, was born in Hollywood, the youngest of 12 children. Mark is an accomplished singer and songwriter, spent many years working as a hired session vocalist for radio, TV, and voiceover work. Now, for the last 20 years, he has held several executive leadership roles in large business corporations, and in late 2015, left corporate America to help support POPS full-time. Mark is a certified life and success coach, business consultant, and certified cultural change practitioner, helping organizations align their values to increase engagement and success. He recently completed his first book, Capture Your Power in Sales and Business, which should be available in late summer 2017. So, Joe, this morning we're going to learn about Putnam Productions, again referred to as POPs. We're going to learn about the programs they offer and, you know, some of the productions and camps and stuff they have scheduled. Julia, Mark, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I know I kind of started at a 30,000 foot level, but there is something really special about gauging your children in group activities. Sports is one that we all think about when we talk about, you know, group activities for children. There are many others that can be thought but musical theater is a very, very special one. Can you, Mark, first, can you talk a little bit about how you guys came up with this concept?
Well, I'd love to take all the credit for it, Joe, but Julia is really the brainchild in this operation, so I think I will let her tell the story of its conception.
Okay. Okay,
thanks,
Julia.
I started about 10 years ago. We're in our 10th anniversary year, and I was a professional dancer in Los Angeles, and I was also teaching and choreographing in the South Bay. I loved teaching dance, and I decided when I wanted to start having my own children that I wanted to continue the love of performing arts, but my body was starting to break down a little bit from teaching so much, and I decided to start with a summer camp. And in 2007, started with a summer camp, and in the fall, we did The Wiz, which was our very first musical. It was all ages, 7 to 17, and since then, there was such a demand in the community for the performing arts, because that's when a lot of the arts were being cut from schools. And so fast forward 3 or 4 years, we took it nonprofit and all of a sudden had 3 divisions. So we serve ages 7 to 11, our elementary school-aged kids, our mini pops, and our rising stars, ages 12 and up, and then our main stage division, ages 14 and up. And since have developed a ton more programs, and we're pretty lucky and grateful to be able to create a place for children to practice being who they truly are. But that was the whole mission from the very beginning. It started with a summer camp.
Okay. So then, Julia, I mean, after the summer camp, I assume it was successful enough that you thought, okay, maybe I could make a business out of this?
You know, I had just had my first son. He was 9 months old, and there's moms out there probably saying I'm crazy, but I loved teaching, and that I love teaching children. I love teaching children the performing arts. You're right, Joe, there's something very special that happens. There's a transformational arc that these kids go on. If they start shy or insecure, they transform into confident and really knowing themselves and being able to stand their power, and that became addictive for me, to witness that and to see parents see their children grow. So the summer camp was a success, and the first show was The Wiz, and then thereafter, one of the dads, who later became a board member, had said, so, you're going to continue to do this? And I don't know that it was the business model at the time was more, since I was doing everything from costuming and choreographing and keeping the books and doing it all, I didn't look so much at the success of the business plan as much as, if I'm being really honest, now I'm being really transparent, I just knew I loved it and had to keep it going somehow. Of course, that bit me in the butt a few years later or a year later, but we managed to figure it out and keep on going.
Right. Well, okay. So then what made the difference for you? I mean, typically it's a partner, it's an investor. What made the difference that you said, okay, this is going to work, and people obviously are coming back?
The difference was, first of all, we were growing. More and more kids, they would come see the shows to see their friends, and there was a greater demand, and it's hard for me to say no to kids, but it became very taxing for sure when I became pregnant with our second child. And Mark and I were called to a meeting by some parents who really believed in what we were doing and whose children were in the program. And they sensed that in my spring show, we did an original multimedia film, musical. Mark wrote the lyrics. I wrote the libretto, and we hired a composer. But at the end of that, I was about 4 months pregnant and exhausted and had a three-year-old at home. And they sensed I wasn't going to do any more shows because I didn't announce my fall show, which you typically do in your spring show. And so they called us to a meeting, and Mark and I remember, Mark, you might remember this, standing on the outside of the door saying, okay, now remember, we're staying true to what we need to do for our life and our family. It's just too much. And then we went inside, and they said, we want to help you, and we want to help take you nonprofit to a nonprofit status, and we'll support you and build some infrastructure for this company. And that was the major turning point, and that was headed by Susan and Don Liebson. And Susan Liebson, who's a former chief attorney at from BP, retired and became my business manager. So it was because of the belief. It's always, you know, it's this with any nonprofit, it's belief and hope and a lot of sweat and tears, but it's really people who come together and it's community who make it possible. So. That's a long answer.
Well, no, it's a beautiful answer. It's I didn't know that story, but I expected to hear something like that because there's something so special about what this is, what happens to groups of people, in this case children, when they're allowed to inhabit a character. To learn blocking, to learn dialogue and music, to work as a team. There is something very, very, very special. It's a human thing. It's deep in the race, as I like to say. And I knew people would be attracted to it. So it was Julie. And Julia and her impetus. But how did you get involved, Mark? You're working with your wife. What are you doing? why don't you get a real job?
That's funny. Well, I can tell you, Joe, that for many years when POPS was first started, I was in a position in corporate America where I was just starting to climb the ranks, so to speak. And, my nights and weekends were then spent helping to build sets and load out theaters and, put stuff in the middle of the night in garages and rent trucks. And it was pretty challenging, but it was a lot of fun. But I can tell you there was one story that really changed my perspective, which was, Julia has had the luxury of working with kids for many, many years. Other than just having a big family, I had not worked with a lot of children. And I recall when we did that first summer camp, and there was a young lady who came into the audition room when we first were doing auditions, and she was so nervous, and she was, probably no more than 10 years old, couldn't make it through the audition because she was crying so much and had so much insecurity and lack of confidence. And, she went through that process. She made it through the audition, and fast forward about 3 months later, here she is in front of a full house with, nearly 1,000 people, and she's got one of the lead roles, and she is just owning the space up on stage with such confidence. And watching that journey that she made and the transition that she made to find her voice and her confidence, it was addictive for me. It was something that I had really never been right up in the front row to see. And so it was really amazing. So I knew at that point that we were doing something, even if we didn't have all the answers as to how we were going to keep the boat afloat at many times, it was still something that we thought was just larger than us. So as I continued to progress in my career and ended up in a position where I thought, when I was a child, I thought if I end up in this position, you know, I'll be successful and that will constitute everything that I've wanted my whole life. And I ended up there and found myself really lacking fulfillment that I knew that I would get inside of the company. And so I like to say I graduated from corporate America and asked Julia if I could come and work for her. And, yeah, it's actually, we have a very strong relationship, both personally and professionally. So, you know, I'm very forthcoming with telling everybody that she's the boss and I work for her. And mm-hmm. and we get along well with that dynamic. So,
good answer.
Yeah, thanks. you wouldn't expect me to say anything else, Joe, on this interview, I suppose.
No. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, now, so we've got the shape of things. We've kind of got the how things began. What is, and I'll start with you, Julia, what is putting on productions?
Putting on productions is a youth premier musical theater company. That's what we do. We put on productions for kids, but really it's about why we do it. And why we do it is to really create that safe space for children to come and be who they truly are. Earlier, Joe, we were talking about the authentic self, and that's really it, because the arts saved me as a child, literally, and created a safe place for me, a home away from home that wasn't always as spectacular as the dance room. So that is the main reason behind all of this is it saved me, and I want to continue and push that forward. But kids come into rehearsal. Some say it's like their favorite place in the entire world or the best thing they can ever do, or sometimes moms have to peel them out of there. They want to stay there. They could live there, they would, at the studio. But when you're in the rehearsal room, all the cliques fall away at the door. And so in school, of course, we have our cliques, right? We have, especially coming into that fifth to sixth grade, turning point is huge. And so that middle school age specifically, you really start to see a lot of self-awareness in children, and they might become more self-conscious about what they're saying and what they're doing. And I feel that musical theater offers a process which is so uncommon in today's immediate gratification, get anything you want right when you want it, drive through at Starbucks, you know, everyone gets a trophy type of society. And so within the process of musical theater, kids get to earn their stripes, so to speak. They put forth the work. They go through the challenges of getting cast, and after being brave souls standing there in that room and singing for a panel of people who are smiling faces, but nonetheless it's terrifying to be able to stand there and speak your name by yourself, introduce yourself, and sing a song with confidence, to get through that process, and then to have the cast list come up. And then the cast list comes up, and it's 90% of the time, if you've done musical theater, you may not be so happy with that. So you realize not everyone can be Sandra Dee or Lizzo or Danny. So in Greece, not everyone gets a lead, and nor in life is that the case. But you get to figure out how to change your perspective and allow it to, instead of I have to play the ensemble, I get to play ensemble. And so I feel like in a world where process isn't really isn't as sacred, musical theater does teach process and how to overcome challenges and how to be your best self in any situation and how to work as a team. And it isn't all just about you. It's about we. And so it's all of those things that combined into one. So that's what POPS is. It offers children the opportunity to, A, express who they truly are and not worry about what someone's going to think about them, or to fail hard, but that means you're trying hard. That's important, to fail forward, and then to grow as an artist and grow as a compassionate team member. And then at the end, when you do the show, it's so spectacular, and you have this incredible journey, and you celebrate that with your friends, and you have it forever. So that's really more of what Pops is. But our productions happen to be pretty awesome.
Joe, I have a question.
Yeah.
Julia, I'm curious how the kids get to you. I know that you have a summer camp that you're doing this summer, but are these kids whose parents are saying, hey, why don't you try this? Or are you getting kids that have done theater already in a school play? Are there kids that just from the moment they come out of the womb, they're an entertainer and they want to do this? And how do they get to you? How do the kids come to you?
Well, I will say that you described all of the kids at Pops. There are just natural talent where they come in and you are blown away, and they don't even know that they're talented, but they're like a mini Ariana Grande or something. But then we have children who are super shy, but their parents think would be good for them. I mean, we have very experienced kids, very, green to performing, all of it. But what really, we are a word of mouth company. And so we're trying to become opening a marketing and advertising division. We just haven't had the funding for that. So the staff at Pops wear many hats. And we do post audition posters, and we do use social media as a tool to bring people and create awareness. And we are grateful for people like Jackie and Joe, who let us do a radio spot to help bring awareness to our company and what we're doing. But really, we are a word-of-mouth company. And because we serve so many children in all age groups, friends, if you're, good news travels fast, and so does bad news. But so as we really do what we say we do and are about really serving the kids, I feel that it's shown. And then when you come and see our productions, because we hire the best professionals in musical theater to create this experience for kids, that I feel that combination of love and creating that nurturing environment and standing behind that, and really being in service of the kids matched with the overall production value is what brings more children to us. So,
Joe and I have had some of the students from, I believe it was the Miracosta Drama Club or Department, Joe, Drama Club, and they are so confident.
Yeah.
I mean, we were so impressed with these kids, young adults. Well, I don't know what age you become a young adult, but they were all just so mature beyond their years. Don't you remember how impressed we were with them, Joe?
Absolutely. Going on to college with, the world at their feet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. That, and the Miracosta Drama Department is pretty amazing, and Carol Matthews runs that program. And kids typically go through, because we are right here in Manhattan Beach, and so we do have children that stay with us in high school, which is pretty amazing because they go to Miracosta, and we've trained them, and so they're brilliant performers. But just speaking to you, by the time you're in high school, because you've had that process, and the only way you can kind of lick your wounds in musical theater when you don't get that part, and it can be the child's everything because their world is whatever they're involved in that moment. So the fact that they learn how to pick themselves up by their bootstraps and continue on and make lemonade from lemons, I feel like that really helps build character and attributes to that maturity. I always find that in the musical theater room, that I always feel like the kids are so much older than when you run into them at the grocery store. They're just like kind of freaked out, like Miss Julia's in the grocery store. But when you're, when you run into your teacher anywhere else, they kind of become their age. But when they're in their power, which is what they love to do, it's pretty amazing.
Wow. Okay, so do you have a standard space where these productions are put on, or do you use multiple venues?
We do use multiple venues. So we have our studio location, Pops. was able to acquire our own studios this last, what year was it, Mark? I know it's been about 3.5 years
2013.
Now. 2013. And so we're over in Manhattan Beach behind Fresh Brothers Pizza, 2010 North Sepulveda, in a three-room building, a three-dance room building. And then we, so that's where our rehearsals and classes take place. And we've been performing at the Hermosa Beach Playhouse since our very beginning. But we do, we did start reaching out. We've been to a few other theaters, but we are looking, our biggest dream is to partner with other companies that are like-minded, like the Foundation, Friendship Foundation, and others alike, to see if we can create a space, our own theatrical space in Manhattan Beach. That would be a dream. This summer, we're going to be at the Centinela Valley Performing Arts Center. That's a like a 1,200-seat theater. It's a beautiful theater. We're going to be doing Oliver for our professional production. So every summer, we started with Peter Pan last year, and this summer we're doing Oliver. And if I could talk about Oliver for a little bit so I can share with you guys what we're doing for some kids from the Boys and Girls Club. So I said earlier that musical theater and dance really saved me, and I was that kid who could not have been able to be a part of any programming like the ones I was a part of without scholarships. And so it's really important to Mark and I to make that a priority for us. And so this summer, with the help of our two producers, Michelle Akeley and Debbie Martinez, we are doing a huge outreach day. So Oliver performs, opens August 4th, and it goes for 2 weekends. But the following Thursday, on August 10th, we will be having our first outreach performance. And so, Mark, do you want to talk about the groups that we've been getting coming to our show for a 10 a.m. show? Free of charge, just to create the opportunity for underserved children to be able to see a live professional show.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, as Julia mentioned, really our objective is to fill the house with children who typically would not have the opportunity to go and see a live professional musical theater production. And, of course, the production will be top-notch, and the cast will be ages 7 to 22. We'll also have a full orchestra, a 25- or 30-piece orchestra, and really we're pulling out all the stops. So the objective was to fill the house with kids who typically did not have the opportunity to experience that, and we're bringing in a lot of kids. We've made outreach calls and connections with local schools and teen centers and Boys and Girls Club, the Friendship Foundation, and a number of others. And so far we've got commitments for about 500 children. So we're about halfway there. And we've got some great strategic partnerships as well with bringing the kids in and introducing them to the show, you know, making sure they have some concessions and as well, you know, we've got some partners that are providing some transportation for them. We've got Manhattan Beach Toyota that's really stepping up and helping us with that. And so, you know, after the show, we're going to have a talk back so that the audience members can ask the other, the cast members some questions and get some feedback, and then we're going to feed them as well. And it's just going to be a really, really amazing event for us to kind of open the doors to new exposure and new experiences for some kids that perhaps would not have that possibility.
Right, right. Wow, I just love this so much. This is an amazing, amazing thing. Mark Lips was was so excited about this. I mean, how long has Mark been involved? Do you know, Julia, has he been following you guys for some time?
You know what? Mark has been really reaching out. We're striving to create partnerships and also grow our board. And Mark met Mark Lips at a chamber event, and they really hit it off, and we discovered that he was passionate and about the arts and performing arts, and recently invited him to see our middle school-aged children. I always say middle-aged children, but middle school-aged children, to see 13 the musical. And so we've just recently gotten connected with him, and he's a huge supporter. And, yeah, we're very grateful for him.
Well, he's
very
excited. And, yeah.
We need to take a quick station break. The hour is just flying.
Flying by. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking putting on productions. Musical theater and self-actualization for children, which is an amazing thing. And we're doing this. It's right here in Manhattan Beach. And we'd love to include you in the conversation. If you have any questions or comments, you want to get your children involved. If you're listening live, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714, area code 714-242-5288. And of course, if you're not listening live, please share this with your neighbors and your friends that have kids that, you know, everybody's looking for things to get their kids involved with, but I guess people don't normally think of, or there just aren't opportunities for musical theater. Well, here's one, putting on productions. We're back. So the next thing, I guess, is how do people get involved, Julia?
Well, actually, I'd love to take that one if I could.
Sure.
So as Julia mentioned earlier, we're really making an attempt to grow and to really build the foundation so that we have all of the necessary items for us to continue to flourish and reach more children. And over the last 10 years, you know, we've speculated that we've done somewhere in the area of about 70 productions, and we've reached a little more than 50,000 audience members during that time. And we've had, of course, outreach programs as well that have touched, you know, many, many different areas. But the unfortunate thing, and you probably know this, the unfortunate thing about most nonprofits is that most times they are dependent upon funds and sponsorships and grants. And typically an organization like ours would run off of 65 to 70% of sponsorships and support from businesses, outside organizations, grants, that sort of thing. And we're running at about 15 or 20% sponsorships at this point. So, you know, we've been very creative about the ways that we have organized our business model so that we can keep our doors open and continue to serve the community. But really what we're hoping to do, and one of the main reasons why I came on board, is really to help with the execution of building strategic partnerships and really getting more people involved so that, you know, of course the efforts of one are great, but the efforts of many can really exponentially make a more impactful experience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're looking, one, to grow our board. We're looking for additional board members who want to get involved. We're looking for local companies to form partnerships, whether it's, you know, financial partnerships or services that they can offer or just get involved. Because the more people know and the more people are exposed to us, the better it is for everybody. So our main objective is really to grow our board and to utilize and tap into the resources that we have and to make more alliances with local businesses in our area in Southern California, really, so that we can have more of an impact on the community.
What kind of skill sets and or resources are you looking for in board members? What kinds of board members are you looking for?
Well, that's a really good question. So here's what we always tell people is, you know, the first step is, because we've had many parents and many other people say, well, I'm just not sure what I can do. And our first response is always, well, just let us know that you are available and that you are, you know, willing to help, and we can figure something out. Because, you know, obviously everyone has their own skill set and level of expertise. You know, we always can use things like advertising, web development, business services, printing, attorneys. I mean, there's some moms who would start and say, gosh, I can't do anything. And I would say, yes, but you're a great talker. So let's work on a script and you can call people and ask them to support us, you know. You know, we have attorneys on our board. We have marketing and advertising and promotional people. But we always need more of those. You know, we need a full-time attorney. We need someone for advertising. We need a full web development program put in place, marketing. So, you know, and a lot of it is just the relationships. There may be somebody, you know, look at Mark Lips, for example. He knows everybody in town. He's a great asset, because we wouldn't be on this program today if it had not been for the connection we made with him. So everybody can bring something to the table. It's really starts with the initial effort of being involved is really where we start from.
Yeah, Mark is great, and we need to find out a way to help you guys grow, because I'm on board. I know Jackie is really a big supporter of the arts in general. That's something that we believe in, and then just musical theater in general. It's important. It's really important, and it occurs to me that you guys are structured very much like, especially in terms of a calendar, very much like sports organizations, which kind of follow the school year. Is that true?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, we are. Most of our auditions and productions begin outside of the summer production, which is like summer stock, but we start in September and go the full school year. Of course, we follow like a school calendar where we're down for the same, we go black or close the theater and the rehearsal hall for holidays that the school observes as well. So we're in rehearsals Wednesday. We have Mini Pops, ages 7 to 11, who rehearse, they're in their own cast. We don't allow more than 40 children in any of our casts, just so that they can get the quality instruction. And not that I'm opposed to other groups that do, that have, you know, 70, 80, 100 kids in the show. That model is wonderful as long as kids get to perform in the arts. I just happen to believe that being able to be in a team and a group where everyone really carries and shares the story is important. So everyone always has at least one line in our productions, because it's important for a child to stand on stage and be able to hear their own voice and carry that and know they can do it. So that's our Mini Pops and our Rising Stars ages, our middle school age kids, 12 and up, and then our main stage, which is ages 14 up or high school aged. But we run fall and spring and do 3 straight weeks of performances in January and also May and June. I really was excited to share with you guys talking about trying to grow our program to grow the infrastructure and the support. And I know that people might not think, and we do hear this, Mark and I will hear, well, this is Manhattan Beach. Yeah, you know, what kid possibly needs scholarships or and you'd be surprised. You'd really be surprised. I would say about 25%. It's not something that people flaunt if they, especially in our community, if they're financially challenged, if they don't have money coming in, or if they don't have jobs. Oftentimes, it's the kid who's sitting right next to your child at school who may only have a meal or two a day. And so this year we went to, we approached many organizations, and we're working with the Boys and Girls Club. We went to the one in Harbor City, and it's the headquarters of actually six Boys and Girls Club. And we held an audition workshop for them, and we are now, right now, trying to scholarship 10 children from the Boys and Girls Club. And these are children who come from homes that share a two-bedroom apartment with three families.
Mm-hmm.
And the average income in that community is $16,000 a year. And so we hear that and think, how is that possible? We've decided to create a campaign called Opening Doors. And Opening Doors is a phrase that I've used for a really long time, because a child just needs to be able to see possibility and see what is possible. And so opening a door and expose the world to them that they would otherwise never see, like a child at the Boys and Girls Club who is not exposed to any extracurricular activities, dance classes, acting classes, sports of any kind. So we are doing our Opening Doors campaign. And literally, we have the Green Room Door, which is like a $250 sponsorship which will provide costumes, makeup, shoes for our outreach program for our boys and girls. And then we have our box office door, our rehearsal door, our backstage door, and these are all different tiers of ways you can open doors for these children. And like the box office door is our second level, like a $500 sponsorship. Provides tickets for these kids to come see shows, or provides dinners for these kids from the Boys and Girls Club who are, we have tech dinners that would need to be provided every night. So it's a big endeavor, and we're excited to do this and make this possible, because I was that kid, you know. And if people do want to get involved and they want to see precisely, if they want to sponsor a child at the Boys and Girls Club, it's for the summer show, which is what we're actively doing right now. It's a $1,000 sponsorship for one child to go through our entire summer stock program. But I just wanted to mention our opening doors, because that's it. Once you open a door for a child, they can keep themselves in the room and be able to see an opportunity that they would not normally ever get to be exposed to. And it helps our community grow, and it helps our children who are privileged and who do get opportunities. It's a win-win situation. So that's what our current endeavor is about, and it's for our Oliver production.
Excellent. And people can find out more at puttingonproductions.com?
Yes, puttingonproductions.com. And then our email is, of course, julia@puttingonproductions.com or mark@puttingonproductions.com. And, yeah, that's our website, puttingonproductions.com. And it's PUTTIN, no G. Putting on Productions.
I love it. I love a good domain name. And I love that it's Putting as opposed to Putting.
Putting on the Ritz. Putting on Productions.
That's right. Yeah.
That must be so gratifying, Julia. I mean, it must be so gratifying to open a door for somebody that either was unable to open that door before or didn't know. So, you know, I would imagine there are a lot of kids that come into your program that they didn't know that maybe they had this talent, or maybe this is something they would enjoy, you know. Even kids that, you know, there might be the star player on the baseball team, and for whatever reason, he ends up in your summer camp, and it could take him in a completely different direction.
Absolutely. And it is. It's showing a world of possibility. And they, you really get to practice who you are. I always say, you know, we need this for adults. We need this for our adult community. And a lot of parents want it as well. But you're so right about opening a door for if they are this. We have a ton of athletes, actually, and a lot of boys. My son's 10, and he is on a travel basketball team, but loves to do theater. And we have a lot of kids who've gone on to do national tours or Broadway tours. Kids who are currently at Tisch in New York pursuing this, and or Michigan State, some of the top colleges. But then we also have children who, and this is the majority of children we're serving, that they take these skills that they learn, these life skills, and it makes them more confident in whatever field. So, yes, we offer a path for that student who wants to be a professional in theater in some capacity, whether that's even tech mm-hmm. performance. We have a tech program where we offer tech training. We do all sorts of we offer a program called GRACE, which is an opportunity for special needs children and typically developing children to rehearse and perform together. It's GRACE stands for Give, Receive, Allow, Authentic, Creative Expression. Just bridging and celebrating our likenesses and differences. And I feel like that if we can embrace that and we can show our children as adults that we recognize our differences and celebrate them and recognize our likenesses and celebrate those, that it's going to create more self-acceptance in our children and I would hope get rid of a lot of bullying that goes on and so forth. But after mm-hmm. kids go through theater, like Joe is saying, they're confident. They have this self-awareness that I can do this because it's scary. I don't know a lot of adults that could go and do what these children do, but they do it and they can. So,
Joe, I know that I've told you this before. You've heard this story a couple of times, Julia, Mark. This is funny. A few years ago, Chris Wolf from the Torrance Cultural Arts Center, he tapped me to be one of the performers in Dancing with the South Bay Stars.
Nice.
They do this every year, and he called me one year and said, "Hey, would you do this?" And I thought about it for a little bit, and then I was like, "Sure, why not? Right? Why not? Right?" Mm. And I did it, and the big thing I learned from it is I have no desire to perform in front of an audience. which is a valuable life lesson. But I did it, and I'm like, this is not for me, which is just as important, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. You know, we actually have some students who really want to be radio show hosts or be newscast anchors. And so hearing you, you're so good at what you do. And I've listened to several, and Joe, you as well, and it makes me think of our current students who do musical theater mm-hmm. now. It's not maybe their passion for a lifetime. They create a love for mm-hmm. the art by doing it, but it's really a tool to help them, you know, in debate club or anyway. I can see. So I'm surprised actually that you learned that you don't want to perform in front of a live audience. But you're right; it is a valuable life lesson.
Absolutely, absolutely. As I said, I did it. I'm glad for the experience, but now I know. Now I know. The next time somebody comes to me and says, "Would you like to do this?" I'm like, "Nope, thank you. I could put you in contact with other people that would."
We have kids who do that too. They come to the program, and like you know, five of their friends come, and four of them are like gung ho and continue with us, and then one says, "You know what? I'm not meant to be in front of the curtain, but I really want to know what's going on behind the curtain." So we
yeah.
have just launched a full tech program. So if you want to learn about tech set design, lights, anything that the stage management, there's so many components to theater and a lot of professional work to be able to work in theater and then go on to college and carry that skill and take it into college. So we have this incredible stage manager, Ashley Henley, who is our resident stage manager, who is launching a full tech program because we have a lot of kids who are interested in that and don't want to perform.
And that's just as important. That's just as important. You need the behind the scenes people. They are just as important as the people that are out front. That's great. That's great.
Absolutely. 100%.
Guys, if I could mention, I know we're coming to a close here. I just want to make sure, because it's in my contract, so I have to say it. I always joke about that. But, you know, POPS is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and, of course, there's, you know, tax benefits for those who want to make donations. But Of course, we will take any help that we can get or support, you know, whether it's introductions or, you know, sometimes I'll say, well, I don't know that I can, you know, do anything other than introduce you to somebody. And I always say, that's perfect. Just, you know, get me a ticket to the dance so that way I can then tell people about POPs and brainstorm about how other people can help. Of course, we also are not opposed just to taking checks or monetary donations. But, you know, I always like to restate that just so that everyone is aware that, you know, however you want to help or however you can help, you're directly influencing and contributing to the growth of a child in your community. So it's really amazing. And of course, I also wanted to just say thank you to the Chamber and Mark Lips and for setting this up, and of course to both of you guys for having us on the program today. We really appreciate the opportunity to expose more people to what we do and to the mission of POPs.
Well, thank you, Mark.
Thank you. And Joe and I have been doing this show for next month will be 6 years. And it's amazing how much we have learned about our community. Seriously, Joe, almost every week we learn about stuff that we had no idea was out there. So if we're still
right.
learning, everybody out there is still learning, right?
Right, right. This is a wonderful opportunity for me to say, you know, there's no efforts going on like yours that I know of anywhere in the South Bay or really anywhere in California. I mean, there's lots and lots of youth productions going on, but they're always within the context of a school or an organization. There aren't organizations that are doing this separate from the school or a specific like boys club or girls club in particular. You guys have a very, very powerful opportunity to extend this concept in other places. You know that, right?
Yeah. We've wanted to actually bridge this to be able to offer school programming. We're always short on manpower because we're short on overhead. So when I said mm-hmm. that we have mm-hmm. many people wearing many hats, like a choreographer has also been our web designer and so on and so forth, but all worth the efforts. But what other opportunities were you thinking of?
Well, specifically, let me ask, do you record your productions?
Yes.
Do you monetize those recordings?
We do based upon the contract. Some shows, the licensing, we're a rule follower, so there's a lot of licensing that doesn't allow that. And then some licensing with particular shows, we do sell them to the parents.
Sure, sure, sure. That's good. That's good. I'm thinking, you know, I've always thought for years I did video productions of my children's performances at Hermosa Valley School. I've got 3, 4, 5 years of productions, and I did a 3-camera shoot and did some tremendous amount of editing and never did monetize them. I'd love to see you guys do that.
Yeah.
Like an online, you know, subscription-based, permission-based viewing so that you could parents can say, hey, Grandma, Grandpa, you can see this. It's only $5.
That's an amazing Joe, idea, actually.
You know, Joe always comes up with the most amazing ideas when we have less than a minute left in the show.
Okay,
we got
hey, to
wrap it up.
Brilliant.
Wrap it up. Let's get some contact information, please.
Sure. So all contact or inquiries can be directed towards me at mark@puttinonproductions.com, M-A-R-K, at Putin, and that's without a G, P-U-T-T-I-N-O-N, productions, plural, .com. Or you can actually dial me directly on my mobile number, which is area code 310. 310-941-1850. Once again, 310-941-1850. Of course, you can visit our website. We would love for anyone to like us on Facebook. And our studio address is 2010 North Sepulveda Boulevard in Manhattan Beach. And we're just behind Fresh Brothers Pizza. Been a huge supporter of ours over the years. So thank you to Adam and Debbie as well. And, yeah, that's how you get a hold of us. So we'd love to talk to anyone who would like to get involved.
Fantastic. There you go. Fantastic. Julia, Mark, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. You're
Thanks
brilliant.
For having
thank
us.
You.
Fantastic show. Everybody, have a fantastic weekend. Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
We'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.